Hello again, figure skating fans, and welcome back. It's episode 2 of Ice Network's brand new Ice Talk podcast, a new regular series that focuses on all things figure skating.
It's now time for the Grand Prix. In our first episode previewing a Grand Prix series stop, I'm excited to have some of the best brains in the business to talk us through Skate America, set for this Friday to Sunday, October 21 to 23 at the Sears Center Arena in the Chicago area. First, I'm joined by longtime Olympic reporter and Ice Network contributor Phil Hirsch as our call-in expert. Phil and I are going to break down the four fields that are set to descend on Chicagoland, and then I'm joined by a Chicago girl herself in Gracie Gold, the two-time national champion and 2014 Olympian, will join me to discuss the official start of her 2016 and 17 season.
Well, I'm happy to be joined by Phil Hirsch on the line from his hometown in Chicago. He's covered 18 Olympic Games and most notably worked for over 30 years at the Chicago Tribune recently. In this last year, Phil, you joined us on the Ice Network team as a contributor. We're happy to have you on Ice Talk.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Nick. Looking forward to the beginning of another figure skating season.
Yeah.
Well, along with these Challenger Series events, the season seems to begin already 2 months earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, I want to dive right in. Let's talk about sort of the big storylines for you going into Skate America coming up this weekend. What really pops out of the paper for you?
Well, it's just to reiterate that point, it used to be that Skate America was the beginning of the season. The first Grand Prix was the beginning of the season, and the first Grand Prix, I think, in all but one instance of late has been Skate America. Now we've had a little bit of a foretaste of some of the skaters' programs, including some at the Japan Open and others at the Challenger Series events. So it's not, you're not going to be smacked in the face by the same newness that you were to a large extent at Skate America. But that doesn't make things any less interesting. It's a terrific men's field. And to me, with lots of interesting questions going on. So let's start with Jason Brown. Mm-hmm. Who had to withdraw from nationals and obviously then did not get to go to the World Championships last year. And the question with Jason is always, has he moved forward technically? So far on the Challenger Series, he had tried four quads and fell on all four.
Right.
On the good side, however, his triple axel, which has been less than 50% consistent over the last couple of years, he hit 5 out of 6 of those on the Challenger Series. So, you know, if in fact he's got the triple axel down to a solidity level where only an unforeseen mistake will force him not to execute it, that's a good thing. But he absolutely has to start landing quads. I mean, there have been lots of videos posted of Jason landing wonderful quads in practice.
Right.
That's nice, but practice doesn't count.
Yeah, he's got to do it in comp. Yeah, no, I fully agree. You know what I think too, Phil, is that I love obviously seeing Jason Brown back out there and then him attempting those quads, because for so long the talk was, oh, we're working on it in practice, we're doing it. Well, finally, I think he and Corey have said this season they're going to try and work and work, and hopefully he gets to that point where we're a year from now and he's got a quad or two and the Olympics are months away.
Yeah, that's the optimal situation.
Right.
He probably should have started with quads earlier, and now you have to wonder, there are two trains of thought of this, or schools of thought on this. If you start as early as a lot of people have, are you going to injure yourself to the point where it makes no difference if you can land them at 16 or 17 because you won't be physically capable of skating at all by 21? Or on the other side, is it going to be, as you age, is it going to be harder and harder to master a jump that you haven't been able to master? That's an interesting question.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. Before we go on, let me just run through the men. Jin Boyang from, you know, coming back from last year, Shoma Uno, Maxine Kovtun, Jason Brown, Adam Rippon. Those are the names that really jump out. What do you think Adam's got to do this season after the success that he had in 2016? He will have to continue to up the ante, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the quad issue. Adam's a beautiful skater.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. And you know, he's one of those skaters you say, even with one quad in each program, he's a medal contender. The fact that he came relatively close, although really not close, last year at Worlds may deceive some people into thinking that you can do this without a quad. you can't do this without a quad anymore in 20, as we go into the 2016-2017 season. He's one of those people that you say, you know, because the quality of his skating is so wonderful, that you just say, God, if he only would land a quad, you'd be writing about him on the medal podium time after time after time. I think also you left out Mr. Nam from that list, and I think he's an interesting case given, you know, he went to Worlds hurt, had a horrible performance, was clearly a rising star going into last season, did not struggle through the season. Will he start to make a comeback? Will he return to where he was two seasons ago and continue to show that promise?
Just to button up, any other notes on the guys for Skate America?
No, Shoma Uno had a terrific season last year.
Yep.
You know, I think he ran out of gas at Worlds when he finished seventh. But I think that he's, you know, clearly he's got the jumps. He's got he's a very attractive skater to watch. I mean, I think, you know, this may be a year that he's a little bit older and he should be a little bit stronger and maybe only gets through a whole season. The two Russian guys, Max Kovtun absolutely imploded at Worlds. You know, he needs to show something. And Sergei Voronov, it looks like he's on his way on the downside of his career after having won a couple of European medals a few years back. But to me, I mean, Jason Brown coming back home to Highland Park, Illinois area.
Right.
He needs to do well in this competition, and I think he, you know, sooner or later he has to land a quad, and why not do it at Skate America?
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people would be happy to see that. The men's field obviously stacked. The women's field, I think, similarly so. Mao Asada, Kanako Murakami, and then the American standouts, Gracie Gold and Ashley Wegner. I think that is going to be a tremendous women's field in Chicago.
It's a great field. I mean, it's a field that's, you know, you don't have Yevgeny Medvedeva and you don't have the other Russians. But other than that, you've got a tremendous field. Probably as, you know, as good a field as you could have, with the exception of Satoko Miyahara. So let's start with Gracie.
Yeah.
Gracie is on the precipice of maybe even winning Worlds last year, although, you know, in hindsight, knowing what Yevgenia did in the free skate, nothing was going to beat that.
Sure.
But Gracie was clearly on the precipice of winning a medal at Worlds. She fell short. She flagellated herself, really, honesty that was both wonderful and a little bit over the top, you had to think. And you wonder how does she come back from that? Gracie seems to be one of those skaters who is always going to be unrealized potential. You know, when she skates really well, she's got the power, she's got the jumps, she's got a presence out there. You know, some people think that her choreography is a little bit, her movement is a little bit robotic, but she has a presence out there. She commands the ice.
She certainly
with
does.
Her presence. And you know, if everybody's waiting to see if she can, again, put together the big program under the big pressure. Ashley made a breakthrough last year, getting onto the world podium, ending the 10-year U.S. drought for women on world and Olympic podiums. She seems to be, you know, she's getting better at an advanced age. I think she's, what, all of 25 or 24. I'm not even sure. That's ridiculous to think of that as an advanced age, but, of course, it is in the skating world. Artistically, she's going to remain strong. But she has to be able to get the jumps every bit as secure as they can be, because she's at a disadvantage technically against with people with the stuff in their program that the Russians have and that Satoko has. Ashley is a personality that those of us in the media love, because she's, again, very open, very honest, very funny, self-deprecating. And full of interesting stories. So I think everybody wants Ashley to do well, because you just enjoy being around her. Going on to Mao.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Was obvious. Everybody loves Mao. How can you not love Mao?
love Mao. Yes. Agreed.
She was. She's a beautiful skater. Unfortunately, I think the triple axel to some extent has become an albatross. She struggles to land it a lot of the time. If she doesn't land it, a lot of the life goes out of her programs. You almost wonder if you know, maybe she could get away without doing it, although probably that's not a good idea for her. She was seventh at Worlds, which was really surprising. I thought she would do better. You know, it's great that she's still in the sport because I think artistically the programs that what I saw of her early in the season in Grand Prix last season, she looked so beautiful out there,
right.
and just couldn't put it together later.
Yeah, well, and she's someone I think that we so appreciated after Sochi coming back and choosing to continue in the sport as she has. You know, you just wonder, though, these next couple years where the training will take her, how much energy is she able to put forth to try to make it back to the Olympics and the Olympic podium. I mean, she had such one of the most memorable skates for me when she did what she did in the free skate in Sochi.
You know, also people forget that she was second in Vancouver.
Yeah, right.
And with you know, landing all those triple axels. I mean, she lost to what I still think is the single greatest Olympic skate ever. When you combine what, I mean, times are different, so it's hard to make comparisons. But you combine what Una did technically with what she did artistically in two programs, I don't think I'll ever see a better Olympic skate than that.
Yeah.
I think Mao is kind of an elder stateswoman in the sport who I think everybody, I remember, you know, when she was kept out of the 2006 Olympics because of the age limitation, when she was looked like she was the best skater in the world at that point. And then, you know, the timing has been all
right.
off for her.
Right.
And I think the longer she stayed in it, the more we all appreciate her, both as a person, as a skater, and as a competitor.
Can I ask you this, Phil? We're closing in now on another Olympics. We're, you know, less than 18 months away. Are we in the danger zone for American women's skating? Because once again, the two names that bubble up to the top are Gracie and Ashley.
You know, I was looking at the results of the Junior Grand Prix so far, and they are not encouraging. And looking behind where Gracie and Ashley were last year, there does not seem to be another generation. Karen Chen had all those boot problems. I always wonder, it's one of the things that perplexes me about skaters. If your boots are that important to you, how can you not get a pair of boots that fit right? And I understand they take tremendous abuse and they get beaten down and stuff, but it would seem like that would be like a baseball player going out to play shortstop with a glove with six holes in it. But you're right, Nick. The future does not look that promising. But things can change. But, you know, look at the next generation of Russians. You look at the next generation of Japanese. Then there were those two young Korean kids at last year's World Championship, 11 and 12, or I think, or 12 and 13. You know, again, you never know what's going to happen. But clearly, with the Olympics being in Korea, they've started to get more kids involved. And Yuna's effect, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for that effect to take hold. I mean, it took a little bit of time for Shizuka Arakawa's effect to take hold with another generation of Japanese. So, yeah, I think you have valid concerns, particularly on the women's side about the future of U.S. single skating. The men's side looks a lot more promising.
Yeah, well, we did the picks for the preseason. Tessa Hong's name came up. Mariah Bell, Karen Chen, obviously Tyler Pierce. So it'll be interesting to see if any of those girls can kind of breakthrough. Phil, we've got a couple more minutes with you. I just want to, real quick, if we can talk about the American teams, both in pairs and ice dance. You've got some good representation. Obviously, the Shibutani's coming back after really what was a revelatory season for them in 2015-16 to see what they did. And, you know, I think a lot of people had slotted them into a certain spot and that they were always kind of going to be second best no matter who was on top in the States. But they flipped the script last year, and I really appreciated that. And I wonder, too, if this is the year that the Americans really start to make a push internationally in pairs.
In terms of the Shibutani's, their free skate at Nationals was just wow. I mean, that's one of those moments I'm going to remember for a long, long time. It didn't quite have the same pizzazz at Worlds, but they still skated very well. What's interesting there is that, you know, despite the changes in pairs judging, we all still have it in our minds, I think, with some justification that you don't move around that much in pairs. Well, they did. It looked like after they won that, they got that bronze medal way back, I guess, in 2011, that they were going to be on the outside for a while, but they're back, and that's good. U.S. pairs, I don't have any hope for, to be perfectly honest. It doesn't help, of course, that Alexa and Chris are hurt.
Yep.
She's hurt. you know, over and over again, we see, you know, this will be the year for U.S. pairs. This will be the year for U.S. pairs. And it hasn't been the year for U.S. pairs for a long, long time, even though the number of pairs worldwide is dwindling. That's another, an even bigger issue. I mean, I think the discipline is in danger of disappearing because there's just, it's a dangerous, dangerous discipline, and there just aren't enough people interested in doing it.
Mm. So then if you went with a preseason pick as far as who's your national champion for the States in pairs, what team lands on top of the podium?
I mean, I would have to see what kind of shape Alexa and Chris are in. I would think that, you know, they're in
they're out for the Grand Prix, though. Right.
They're out for the whole Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
Last year you had Denny and Fraser and Kane and O'Shea finishing 12th and 13th at the World Championship.
Right.
So to some extent, it makes no difference who the national championship is. They're not yet competitive. And by competitive, I mean get to top five, get to top four, and then take it from there. But I mean, that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Phil, thank you for joining us. Always appreciate the insight, the years of experience.
When you've been around as long as I have, Nick, and you've got some memory left, it's amazing what you can recall.
Well, I can't wait to have more of those memories back on Ice Talk in the near future. Thanks, Phil.
It's my pleasure, Nick.
All
thank
right.
you.
Take care.
Hey guys, what's up? This is John Coughlin, two-time U.S. champion and Ice Network contributor. Make sure that you tune in to Ice Talk weekly on icenetwork.com or on iTunes.
I'm now joined by Gracie Gold, two-time U.S. champ, 2014 Olympian, and a bronze medalist in the team event. She's also a six-time medalist on the Grand Prix series. Gracie, welcome to Ice Talk.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So tell me first off a little bit about the summer that you had. I read about some of the challenges that you faced, but talk about that and then this Grand Prix season to come.
Well, I guess there were some challenges, but when I think of my summer, I mostly think of all the adventures that I went on. It was really, really fun. I actually had an amazing summer.
Yeah, I mean, you were all over the place. I think I read you were in Ireland and some time in Japan. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, for John Wilson Blades, I went to Sheffield, England for a week. And then my mom and I spent some time in Dublin, Ireland, which was extraordinary.
Yeah, absolutely. Had you ever been to Ireland prior?
You know, I hadn't been. As we both know, there's not as much skating in England or Dublin. And so that wasn't, you know, we just don't get to travel there as much. But they were both very, very different, but really, really cool. I was mostly in the studio in Sheffield, so we only got to go and look around a little bit. But Dublin was strictly vacation. And my mom and I stayed at an Airbnb in
Nice.
Bar, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we had the best time.
I've been to Dublin. I mean, Ireland is beautiful. The green is, it is a very, very green country.
Yeah, I mean, the whole city, you know, is bisected by that river and it faces in. And yeah, Sheffield is, as we were driving from the airport into Sheffield, I mean, we couldn't help but look, and they had the sheep on the hillside with the, you know, rock separating the land. It was awesome. Oh my gosh. It was so picturesque.
I think we need to pitch the Gracie Gold travel show at some point, right?
I mean, I couldn't help but think, I was like, there needs to be some sort of rink in Dublin downtown. Like if I was a tourist, I would love to skate downtown Dublin and just see everything.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I missed. Yeah, we need to get a rink in here.
Yeah. Well, so you spent some time in Japan this summer, and then I know that you were back there for the Japan Open recently. But can you describe for us going there? And, I mean, you guys are almost rock stars, the way that the sport is viewed there, the numbers of fans. How different does it feel when you are there as far as popularity and just being there in Japan?
First of all, you do have to say that everything about Japan is so different than the United States.
Right.
Because, I mean, almost everything is different. It's not like flying into like for Skate America, like flying into O'Hare. It's right. not even in the same ballpark. But when I was there this summer to do my Kofi photo shoot, Carly came with me. So we had a girls' trip to Tokyo, which
was fun.
Unreal. we had so much fun. And just, yeah, it is, it's incredible. Just, I mean, just, yeah, kind of being like rock stars in a sense. I mean, maybe not quite A-listers. Yeah, I mean, just even like private check-ins at the Grand Hyatt.
Right.
Yeah, you're on the top floor. And just the respect that the, I mean, the culture is, of course, very respectful in general. But, yeah, and then just being recognized. Although it's pretty easy to spot, you know, my sister and I.
I would guess so.
Or, you know, when my mom and I, you know, at Japan Open, kind of trotting around Tokyo, it's stick out a little bit. But I remember one of my first trips, I was traveling with Kazuka and we were going through the airport and we had like a private TSA screening and a private airline lounge. I, of course, as one of my, it was my first World Team trophy. So I, of course, thought, oh, wow, you're like every senior international.
Yeah,
like
this is the life.
How amazing. Wow.
I'm telling you, that should be part of the Gracie Gold travel show. Let's make this happen.
Meryl Davis and Charlie, they always told me that one day I should have my own show.
I'm all for that. I would absolutely watch that show.
Well, thank you. I told them that they would get to be my first guest, but maybe you can be my second.
So, Gracie, you head to Skate America this coming weekend and then later in the Grand Prix season to Paris for Trophy France. What are you looking forward to as far as the season goes and especially for these two events?
Well, the Grand Prix, you know, it's always super fun. You know, it's just a great chance to get the programs out and everyone loves, you know, competing. It's part of the sport. And, you know, I was really excited to be assigned Chicago and Paris. You know, who doesn't want to travel there? Chicago is, you know, it's kind of, it's one of my hometowns, you know, so to speak, since I've moved around a lot. But I have some fond memories there, and it's a great team that we have going. So I'm really excited about that. And Paris should be really, really fun. It's one of the major cities that I haven't been able to travel to. So I'm looking forward to getting to go to Paris. And as we all know, last year, well, it was Trophy Bompard last year, but now it's Trophy France was cut short due to the attack. So it'll just kind of be nice to have the full, Grand Prix this year.
Yeah, Gracie, I actually wanted to ask you about, Bompard from last year and just that experience for you, because I think you had almost one of the best skates of your career in that short program. And obviously the terror attacks cut the event short. What was that like for you? And I know that obviously everyone was worried and careful about their safety, but it's something, you know, that we rarely see in sports. And I think it was unique for you in your career too.
So I remembered, yeah, just getting up and I heard her on the phone with my dad and my sister, and they were of course freaking out. Because of the mass shootings in Paris. And I believe, I'm not totally sure, but if we had been at Paris or at the rink that normally France is at, we would have been like right in the thick of it, I think, like right where the shootings were.
Right, right.
But in some fortunate way, we were in Bordeaux, which is, you know, a much quieter town. But nonetheless, just to be that close to, you know, a terror attack is like, I mean, it was just kind of surreal.
Right.
Is kind of what I remember and thinking like, and I mean, just watching it and then just watching the, you know, just all the workers in the hotel and realizing that, you know, this was their country and this is happening to their people.
Yeah.
And it just seemed so trivial that we were going to go, you know, go ice skating. And this was like a super big deal to me. But there were people that were being shot and blown up.
Hmm.
Like, I was like really worried about like my triple loop jump.
Right.
You know, it just seemed like ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the ladies are really early. They had kind of talked. I remember Frank had called me. We had practice, And then I went back to the hotel, and then I was resting, and then I was getting ready for the event. And right as I was leaving my hotel room, Frank was calling me, and I answer. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, dear. They've canceled your event.
Hmm. And what was your reaction to that? Do you remember?
It was just that kind of surreal feeling. Like, is this happening right now? Oh my God. Like, I didn't know how to process. So, I mean, we closed the hotel room door and I put my stuff down. And then I started crying a little bit.
Hmm.
Because I was so sad for just these people. But what? Yeah, it was just a very unique thing
experience. Would that be one of your strangest trips of your career?
I mean, I would say. And it was definitely a first for Frank, which,
right.
You know, he noted was novelty, that even at his, age, that unique thing still happened to him. That he still sees, unique things, that he's never had a Grand Prix be canceled midway through.
Right. Well, Gracie, let's shift gears a little bit. Tell me just in general how you feel about your skating right now and where your shape is for this coming season.
I feel pretty good. The shape is already getting better. It's definitely not as good. I feel like I'm a little bit behind where I want to be, but, it's just, just one step at a time. So I'm trying not to let, not to get too caught up in those thoughts, and just trying to keep moving forward, and push as hard as I can and train as hard as I can to get back to where I want to be.
Right. Gracie, you mentioned it a little bit, but do you feel like you sort of tried to forget about Worlds without dealing with it? Or I know that you spoke with Lynn Rutherford at Champs Camp and sort of said that June and July were tough months for you mentally or emotionally. I guess just, did you feel like you had to process it? And what did you do? What did you do to sort of move forward from that experience?
I guess just kind of from Worlds. And then we just went into tour, and then, on tour, we had a lot of world medalists, first time, second time world medalists, and a lot of people that had all this amazing success. I was truly happy for them, but it was hard for me. Because I had, had, one of my greatest disappointments.
And you're a human. You had a human reaction to all of that. That's fine.
So I just kind of like shut down that emotional center there.
Yeah, sure.
And just didn't deal with what needed to be dealt with. And then from there, we went to May, and then I just got new programs and then just avoided dealing with it. And then from there, we just went to like photo shoots. So I just didn't even think about skating or training. And I just didn't recover probably like I should have. And definitely in the off season with all of my, international vacations and festivities, I just didn't really probably do the things that I should have to really get a jump on the season.
Right.
But I certainly don't regret any of the amazing trips that I took or all the things that I did. But it just means that I have to keep pushing really hard now, and I'm on a good path. And I'm really looking forward to my Grand Prix. And then, we have at least a lot of time looking forward to the U.S. Championships and Worlds, which is really where that's really like where my eye is, so to speak.
I mean, that's where you want to peak.
Those two
right.
Big ones at the end of the year.
Gracie, is this all still fun for you? I mean, the process and the skating, and you obviously have passion for the sport, but I think you're beginning, your fourth or fifth year up there and really being on the world stage. Are you enjoying yourself?
I do, but I really had, I guess that's kind of, I mean, I thought about not doing the Grand Prix this year, this summer, just because, I was like, am I ready to, because I just needed that time to find
right.
the, like, joy in it again. But then I thought about not doing it, and I would rather, you know, do the process, and I'd rather train for it and compete and have it maybe not be perfect than mm-hmm. not do it at all. Because that's just not my style to just sit this one out. It's not really for me.
Is that something you've learned along the way, is not to be a perfectionist and then try to instead work through, like you're saying with this season, you feel a little bit behind that you have to work through things, and then nationals and worlds is where you want to peak?
Yeah, and I mean, we've kind of discussed, like, you know, as the summer, just kind of going back and forth between different countries and then having a week at home and then jetting off someplace else, and not to mention all of my other media things, like mm-hmm. across. We had kind of talked about, yeah, not competing this fall, but I just think that would ultimately be a mistake to just come out in January. It's just
right. Stuff to do.
I just think that it would be a mistake. I just think that I would look back. Yeah, I mean, I just couldn't imagine it. You know, I would rather go out, you know, trying
sure.
than yeah. not. Than just sit at home and not, you know, at least do the process, do the training, go to the event, you know, skate with courage, and then just see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, I want to ask you about Frank. I need a funny or best Frank tale, because I can only imagine the day-to-day with Frank Carroll and the wisdom I'm sure he passes on, but there's got to be a few laughs with him too.
No, there are definitely some. Well, one of them, so when Carly first cut her hair, so he's not always maybe a visual person per se.
Okay.
But sometimes, I don't know, so Carly had just cut her hair and she had just colored it so she had just gotten it trimmed and it was blonder. Right. And she hasn't been in the rink as much now that she's been going to school. So she really only comes in on Wednesday afternoons when she has off. And so the 1 o'clock, it's not my session, but it's fondly known as Gracie's session because that's when I have my lesson. And it's usually just Dice and I. And Frank knows that I like to play my music on the session, and that's what I do when I first get on.
Okay, yes.
And so right. Frank and I, you know, start to get on. It's 1 o'clock, and there's this, you know, Frank thinks that it's just this random girl on the ice. And so he kind of gets, he just starts to march out there, and he's like, "Excuse me, what? What are you doing?" And you have to know that Frank adores Carly.
Yes. I mean, right? This I know.
Adores Carly.
And he's yelling at her.
Like, Carly does no wrong in Frank's mind. I mean, she could do anything, and Frank would just think it's like the best thing he's ever seen. I mean, ever. She, anything. And, I mean, it's like yelling. And he's like, "What are you doing? No. Take your music off." And then you just see her like head whip around Frank, and he just stops in his tracks because he realizes it's his favorite student that he's yelling at.
Oh, I love it.
You have to appreciate that this is Frank Carroll, and he doesn't huff and he doesn't puff, and he certainly doesn't run across the ice to yell at whoever this is, but that was one of my favorites recently.
I love that.
And I mean, he couldn't. Yeah. And he also told the story for like 2 weeks to everyone.
Oh, well, if it gave Frank a good story, then I'm happy it happened, even if Carly was in trouble for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? No. Turn the music off. Turn the music off.
I appreciate the story. I think your Frank voice just needs a little work, though. Gracie, thank you so much for joining us on Ice Talk. I really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and good luck this season. We'll look forward to seeing you in Chicago. That was Gracie Gold, 2-time U.S. champion. She's an Olympian, a bronze medal winner in the team event, and she was with us here on Ice Talk. I want to thank all of you for joining us on episode 2 of Ice Talk, the new figure skating podcast from Ice Network. We'll be back next week with a Skate Canada preview featuring 2-time U.S. pair champion and Ice Network contributor John Coughlin, along with a duo I can't wait to see make their long-awaited return to the ice, 2010 Olympic champions Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer. A big thanks to Ice Network contributor Phil Hirsch and Chicago's very own Gracie Gold for joining us on this episode of Ice Talk. You can find Gracie in action at Skate America this weekend. Again, feedback is always welcome via our Ice Network Twitter handle or to me at Nick McCarville. You can find our podcast posted when it goes live on icenetwork.com or subscribe to our page on iTunes. From the Ice Network studios in downtown Manhattan, a big thanks to my producer, Kate Sullivan. She's a champion hat wearer. I'm Nick McCarville for Ice Talk. Thanks for taking us for a spin. We will talk to you soon.